clarity.
Tell them the difference between natural diamonds and created diamonds.
Natural diamonds were born in the heart of the earth when the earth was new.
Created diamonds were born in the heart of a miniature star inside a plasma chamber.
Ramses has earthborn diamonds.
And starborn diamonds.
A pair of diamond stud earrings is born when we find a perfectly matched pair of diamonds.
And then we put them together and celebrate how beautiful they are.
We have hundreds of pairs of diamond studs at Ramses.
And every pair is beautiful.
Ramses Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering. Also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. Call Joe's Septic Contractors 24-7 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi. Visit Joe's Septic at viscom.net.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, Matty Hudak, one final segment with you. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Hey.
Appreciate it.
Having a great time.
You know, being at a golf course, eating, relaxing.
It's a rough life, yeah.
Well, you know.
Glad to be roughing it out here, yeah.
Glad to be a part of game two last night, if you know what I'm saying.
This is, precisely.
Sorry. Well, game three is a couple of days away. Maybe they'll figure some things out, you know? Never know. With the Pels and Thunder, we got three games. Jeff Box from our sister station, KNAE, ESPN Bet, went through the three games. But obviously a lot of attention, the ratings, you know what it's going to be like. It is round one of the NFL draft. It is setting up to be a very interesting one. As many as six quarterbacks can go in the first round, depending on who you ask and when you ask. Depending on who you ask and when you ask, double-digit trades in the first round. Could start at two, more often than not, but you think maybe three, four, five. But the Cardinals and Chargers could be trade partners as well. The teams above the Saints, they could probably go quarterback as well, so likely they may not be around there. And I'm talking about 11 with the Vikings, 12 with the Broncos, 13 with the Raiders. Saints are at 14. I just saw a tweet that the Colts at 15 are very interested in Marvin Harrison. They're looking to move up and make trades. So to your point, your main thing that you want us to leave here with tonight or this afternoon is the Saints at 14 may or may go tackle or may not, or may trade down, depending on how the draft shakes. If six quarterbacks go in the top 14, maybe you can go down two or three spots to do that. But just give me a number, 5, 7, 10. How far down are you willing to go?
I'm not going to give you a number because it just depends on how the draft really shakes out. But for me, what I think the Saints, if I'm a draft person, even though James Hurst retired, you almost have to ignore that that's the case because with the timing of it, do you then perhaps apply a little bit of confirmation bias to a tackle that now all of a sudden that need has become that much greater? I just think being aware of the timing of things like that, I don't think their strategy should change whatsoever. And if we're talking about six quarterbacks in the first round, even four going in the first round, they're presumably going in that spot because when you talk about those teams, 11, 12, 13, Broncos, Vikings, Raiders, those are all teams that need a quarterback. So,
and to your point, start just doing simple math here, right?
Yeah.
You're 14. So if four go, you're down to 10 picks. If out of those 10 picks, let's say the top two of their positions go, like the top two receivers, right? Harrison and Neighbors.
Yeah.
So now you're down to eight. You know a tackle is going to go alt or somebody, right? Somebody's going to take the next bet, or the top available tackle, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So at seven, the best defensive player available in the top ten that you would all think probably is going to go, right? I mean, whether it's Dallas Turner to the Falcons or something like that. Again, teams before you. So you're down like to six. And that's to your point. If you got four good tackles that you like that could be there, you have Jared Verse a couple edge rushers. He's not Dallas Turner, but he's two or three. I meant to bring that up on Mel Kiper's rankings by positions, because I saw a couple of mock drafts have, actually not have, Cam Jordan actually brought it up. And he said, I really like the guy from Florida State over there. So just to kind of give you an idea, there could be a situation where he maybe goes on that. Kiper has Dallas Turner, Latu from UCLA, which looks like a physical weirdo. I mean, seriously, he's like a ninja.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, incredible. Versus number three there, Darius Robinson's number four edge rusher. Now, the way I look at it with edge rushers is the Saints have bodies there. They may not be great, you know, and I know with Turner, but they have bodies. I don't have bodies at
right.
offensive line. Right now, the Saints have two players. That's it. That you know are starting. I don't know if Ramchek's starting. I don't know if he's even playing. So, and I mean, I don't know what you're telling me about Penning, but I know two out of five. I don't have bodies.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So would you rather take one tackle at that position? Would you rather trade back and potentially be able to get two starting guys on the offensive line? I do think the Saints are probably going to go defense at some point. It's hard to ignore, especially with a defensive-minded head coach.
And I'm going to ask you about that here in a quick second, but we have to mention something we saw this morning. You saw Daniel Jeremiah. The last five phone calls he made, apparently teams are looking to trade up to get tackles, as many as five. So, do the Saints have to trade up to go get a tackle?
Or did the Saints leak that so teams think that everyone has to trade up and go get a tackle? You have to think about
I
remember Bill Belichick. I love that he's wilding out, and I hope he continues to do so and just tells us everything. But saying that you're not getting any information from teams until the day of the draft, everything else is coming from agents. I think that's probably more close to the truth than anything else.
Okay.
So do you really think five teams? And if so, which teams?
Yeah.
It just seems a little bit like, to me, a fishing rod that was thrown out there to see if it sticks.
All right, let's go to the other side of the football because a lot of attention has been on that, on offense, that is. All right, so, Maddie, on the defensive side, look, you got Chase Young. I'm assuming he'll be healthy to start the season. I don't really,
a memoir.
Don't really know how that works. I legitimately don't know if Marshawn Lattimore is going to be on this team. The way the team's kind of talked about it, and in speaking with somebody, I guess I would say close to the situation, there absolutely is tension. Or there was at the end of the season between the organization and him. So I'm comfortable in saying that. So I don't know if we're in the, hey, culture cleaning process of this organization or what we're doing or not. But let's just say he's not. I'm assuming you're moving Alante Taylor to the outside. That's where he's looked the best. That's where he's played the best. Would you agree?
That's really where I was going with this. When we were talking with Ross, and he brought up the fact that it's Paulson Adebo's contract year. To me, why draft a cornerback when you already have one on the roster that you've seen shut down Davante Adams, shut down these guys in press coverage situations, come in off the bench last year playing with legitimately a group of scrubs and shutting down guys at cornerback, and then he's primarily getting tested as CB2 against Paulson Adebo in that offseason training camp. Then you trade Bradley Roby right before the season started, and all of a sudden you have a second-year player who's only come in relief playing as your starting slot corner, and he just didn't have the traits there that you really wanted to necessarily see. But to me, it's a lot harder to find an elite lockdown corner, and Marshawn Lattimore on the team or not, it's just too hard to ignore for me his skill set at that outside role and how much they lacked at talent at that slot position.
All right, so if that's the case, who is the Saints slot corner?
In the draft.
Safety. We know Tyrann Mathieu.
They should also be in the draft.
Who is the free safety? Strong safety.
So this is why I'm talking about the whole trading back thing, because I do think that there are quite a bit of needs on this team. And yes, I know that the Saints build a little bit through free agency, but Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu looked a little old last year, and they looked a little old the year before that too. So you really do need to potentially address that position. And just been very curious the way that there's been one secondary member kind of traded away right before the season started with CJ Gardner-Johnson a year prior, Bradley Roby last year, and that room looks completely different with those guys in it. So if you're talking about losing Marshawn Lattimore, then you're essentially starting from scratch.
I'm just going to be Captain Obvious here. Graf's favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons. We love to hate them. But at the same time, they got some skill there. They got some talent. I mean, they got some offensive players that could put
sure,
some pressure.
Sure, they spent their first-round draft picks on a tight end and a running back.
And they got a receiver and Drake London, and, you know, they brought in some receivers in free agency and stuff. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, yes, I need a safety that can make plays.
100%. I mean,
not just make plays in the air, but make plays on the ground.
I mean, Marcus Williams and Malcolm Jenkins as a duo were just so perfect because you truly had really what's been irreplaceable range in Marcus Williams, his ball tracking, his ability as that roaming free safety. But then you had a true Brock safety in Malcolm Jenkins that we haven't seen them replace.
I got a hand to pause you. I understand that play, and people will always remember that play.
Oh, his rookie season where he had a one blip? We're talking about guys in the draft.
Is that the frustrating element? Because I hear a lot from people that cover this team, and I understand. Hey, you'll circumvent or you'll work around the cap, and I get that. But if you wouldn't have been in the cap mess that you are, maybe you can keep Trey Hendrickson, who's a draft pick, who, by the way, since he's left, you're still looking for somebody on the right end to make sacks. If you had money, maybe you keep Marcus Williams, who was a draft pick, who can still have probably helped you. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's the thing that's frustrating about this, is that you actually have had some players in the positions we're talking about, but because of where you are, you had to make the tough decision. Now, I understand that's across the board for a lot of different teams, but it's frustrating because here we are, I feel like, year in and year out, and we're looking to address certain areas and needs where you have spent draft picks and just you can't sign them back.
Yeah, I mean,
or you didn't see their talent.
Right, that too. And I point to the Trey Hendrickson thing more than anything else, just because I do think back to Dennis Allen's comments about, did he want a true free safety in Marcus Williams, or was he really trying to look for those more hybrid players? Because let's be honest, Marcus Williams was never going to offer you run support or tackling for that matter. So maybe that just might have been a poor fit. But to me, that's then when you look to address through the draft, when you get rid of a place that you spent draft capital on. I just, free agents to me at those skill positions where you start to really age out, and if they don't have that twitch speed, it just really does not help you out. And then when we're talking about these problems at corner and that slot role, I could see the Saints easily going secondary in the second round.
That's an interesting aspect of it.
Depending on what they do in the first.
Got about another minute and a half here. What about receiver?
I mean, it's not that fantastic of a group for the Saints losing Michael Thomas, but at the same time, I think that you have to get the line going. You have to address the tight end room. There are so many places to address.
The reason I say that too, Matt, is like Olave is a nice talent, right? But I'm coming off of a season where, for whatever reason or however it was or how they want to look at it, the man didn't run certain routes or gave up on certain routes or did this or did that. And then I look at yards after catch, the physicality aspect. I mean, yeah, I can practice that all I want. I can put 5 to 10 pounds all I want to different things, but it's another thing to, at the same time, either grow 4 or 5 inches or something like that. Plus, I look at this offense, like that Deebo Samuel role. Who is that? Is he on staff? Is it A.T. Perry? Is it not? I don't know. And at the end of the day, there's certain traits that a number one receiver have, right? What makes them a diva? The belief that I can beat anybody any given day, the confidence, that bragging. I mean, you saw it with Michael Thomas. I don't know if that's Chris, you know? So I could see this team maybe in that second pick going with receiver.
It's true. It's just, I always think back to how young these guys really are when you come down and think about it. And, you know, could Chris Olave be a completely different guy in just a year or two from now? 100%, absolutely. But I think it's a group where, yeah, the Saints haven't really paid great attention to it over the last couple of years. You saw them put a little bit more thought into it here and there. It's not a good group, but there are really a lot of holes on this team. That's why I continue to just kind of talk about the trading back thing. But you also then realize that once the draft settles, then you can kind of see what your needs are. The moves aren't over yet at that point. So it'll just the Saints kind of have to show their hand a little more in the first round because of the obvious need there at tackle. But yeah, I do think it works in their favor that where they're sitting at, you think about if there's a team that wants a quarterback, they have to jump that 11 through 13, because between Denver, Minnesota, and Raiders, if you're a team that wants a quarterback, the odds of that one of those three teams taking them relatively high. And so I think you're looking for guys that slot kind of into that earlier range, it makes the Saints 14 position really intriguing, and they could frankly do a lot with it. I'll just be curious to see if they decide to go aggressive, because there is something to be said about knowing yourself. People said for Dan Campbell to go more conservative in the playoff game, but you can't ask someone to not be who they are at the end of the day. So if that's really who the Saints are and they're willing to stick to it, if they have their guy, then go get him. But this might be the draft where you get to play your hand a little more if you're able to kind of sit back and wait.
Makes a lot of sense. I'll bother you tomorrow to see what they did at 14, especially if they do trade down. That's Matt Hudak. Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it so much.
My pleasure. It's
been fun. By the way, the most important thing that Adam Schefter said today, in the last 34 seconds, he tweeted, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell underwent back surgery 3 weeks ago. It remains uncertain whether or not he'll be able to offer his patented draft day hugs. It is a draft time decision. I know. It's just, let's just get the draft going.
On purpose?
Sports Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Listen up. Listen up, everybody. Golden Motors has 2.9% financing for 72 months on all 2024 15 Silverado models for qualifying customers through GM Financial. In case you missed that, I'll say it again. Golden Motors has 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on all 2024 models. This deal is good through April 30th at Golden Motors, Highway 3235 on the back road, and cut off Chevy together. Let's drive. Price is priority. Not compatible with any other incentives.
Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy staff are trained in finding the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options with you. With two convenient locations to serve you, we're located in Rouse's Supermarket, Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. Our staff available Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
The king is in our own. What joy bring? We are going. We are going to ring the king.
The King Firm. If you've been injured, ring the king. 504-909-5464.
That's 504-909-5464. Located at 2912 Canal Street, New Orleans. If you're injured in an accident,
I say have no fear.
The King Firm.
The King Firm is here. We are going. We are going to ring the king.
LA 23-15-341.
Disposal jam? Can't fix it? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222!
262-8222!
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Jeff Scotty on the on-deck circle. We'll be talking to him as well. Our thanks to Matty Hudak. Brad, who is a listener. First off, thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate you.
Good to be here. Good to be here, guys.
That's good. How excited are you about the draft tonight?
Yeah. Well, as long as DA and has something to do with it, I'm a little nervous, man.
You're nervous?
A little bit.
Really? See, I'm not nervous because it has to be a tackle. How much faith do you feel that they will address what they got to do?
Well, we addressed tackle with Penig, right? And we know how that worked out. So we'll probably over-evaluate somebody and end up with the next Trevor. So,
well, I mean, you know, that's how it works. I don't know. What do you want to see by the time Saturday evening ends? What do you want?
Definitely we want to address the tackle situation. Safety. And we definitely need to address receiver. But I think what a lot of folks are missing is the linebacker position is where we really need some help. You know, we're getting old there.
Yeah.
It's not our greatest position. And we need to be able to cover tight ends. That's where we suffered last year, and I think we'll continue suffering this year.
I think that's one of the things that I keep bringing up here as well, too, is, like, you could really go from top to bottom across the board and be like, hey, we need help everywhere.
We definitely do. You can go running back room, quarterback room, wide receiver room, offensive line, defensive line, yeah. Linebacker, safety. I think corner is our strongest position. We have some.
You feel there. Corner is really?
I do.
What if Marshawn Lattimore is not here?
If Marshawn is traded away for some odd reason, I think then it becomes another area of concern. But Yeah, I think if Marshawn is here, Alante Taylor, I think you have some strong building blocks there.
Okay.
Safety position, you know, we love the Honey Badger, but, you know, he's getting a little old, you know. So.
Well, it's not even that, too. It's like, what's behind him? And look, and he's had two statistically good seasons since he's been with the Saints. Jordan Howden is a guy that you drafted, so let's see if that takes place. Look, I don't know. I keep using it, and you say you listen to the show. I keep saying they may not want to say rebuilding, retooling, reshaping, re-whatever. I mean, what, re-engineering, you know?
Yeah, a term I would probably use is reconfiguring.
Reconfiguring.
We're reconfiguring. Okay. We're getting past the Sean Payton era. I think they tried the keeping those building blocks in place, and we've seen where that went with Dennis Allen as leader.
Okay.
So now they're trying to reconfigure.
Reconfigure.
And see where they can put things.
Well, I tell you what, it's not – I don't need this. Somebody just text me relocate. No, we're not
relocating. No.
We're not relocating.
No relocation. You know, we love our Saints.
All right. Well,
and hey, as you know, somebody watched them in the 80s and 90s, to see – we're used to winning now. And that's why we're so frustrated.
Yeah.
If this was in the 80s or 90s, we'd be happy with this team. So you know, we have to keep that in
would
mind.
Would you? That's an interesting – I'm going to bring that up later. If this was 15, 20 years ago, you good with where the Saints are?
Absolutely. You would be. And because a plus 500 season was almost unheard of.
Okay.
So, we'd be happy with this. But now we're used to winning, and we have that change of culture, just like the Saints did. Our expectations are higher as fans, and theirs should be higher as executives. And Dennis Allen doesn't have those same expectations. He's okay with okay.
Something tells me you're not a Dennis Allen fan.
Not at all.
That's all the time we have for Brad. Go enjoy your golf tournament.
All right, sir. You have a good one, Gus.
Thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it as well. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. If you'd like to do so, as Chef Scotty is over there attending to, I don't know, what is he doing over there? He's talking on the phone. You always see this. This is like one of those things where, like, you look at aging people or your parents. What were you doing there just now, by the way? What were you doing there just now? It's very interesting. You had, like, the phone. I guess it was speaker?
I was,
because it was pointing at you, yet you're looking at
it. I was talking to Jimmy, who's running my booth today.
Oh, okay.
And he was asking me, do I need 10 pans of bread pudding for tomorrow?
Where is it, by the way?
Or 15?
Where is the famous white chocolate bread pudding?
It's next to the
bar. Oh, I haven't made it over there. I haven't made it over there.
It's so good, bro.
Yeah, I haven't made it over here.
We make
bread pudding. How good is what we're doing here?
It's incredible. And what I think is so cool is that this year,
yeah,
you're in the club that I'm in.
Yeah, no, it's nice because you had to go walk. I mean, it's not a whole hole, but it's a bit of a little walk. You know,
but you're in the best one.
I'm right here. I'm right next to you.
You're in the hospitality.
We're going to be here.
Club.
Same thing here tomorrow as well. Looking forward to
all
it.
These people here are my friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, with the LRA or Hospitality Foundation, and we do this together. And you know, Tommy couldn't have said it any better earlier. Tommy's the best. He's the leader of the pack. So. I just really believe in giving to them, and I love these people.
And one of the things, look, you always said it last Thursday, too, just the prep work that it goes for you guys to figure things out, too. But everybody's doing that around here and doing that because they actually truly do love it. And let's be honest, if your kitchen or your restaurant or your office of the day is this, you couldn't have asked for better on this.
It's gorgeous.
Look over there.
See, it could be 10 degrees cooler.
See the 10,000 people over there?
Yeah.
That's where Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry are.
Is that right?
You see how many people are?
Yeah.
Walking there, but the weather is beautiful. You're not going to have any rain.
Let
it looks
me ask
like
you a
for
question.
The 4 days, so it's going to be perfect.
What's the difference between Bryce Garnett's swing, who I know Bryce,
uh-huh,
he's got a beautiful swing, on a golf course, rather than Rory McIlroy or Shane Lowry? They've all got beautiful swings.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous, gorgeous swings, but it's all about nerves and being able to play it when the chips are down, unlike our team last night.
Oh, boy. Would you like to hear
the JV comment?
Oh, that's
I'm still in shock.
That's where I was going.
We didn't think they were going to play that hard. I was listening to you on the way over.
They came out physical. They were aggressors. So we kind of
I don't know what to say. Like, we didn't expect them to play that hard. And that's on us. It's not acceptable. It was a shame today.
Bro, I'm sorry. That's like the most incredible thing I've ever heard an athlete say.
I value the candor. Okay?
Seriously? Could have told me that before I bet on you.
No. Well, okay. See, you're looking at it from that perspective. What I'm saying, though, is there are going to be some very interesting conversations this offseason.
Yes.
And I think, unlike in seasons past, because each offseason the conversations have been very specific.
Yeah.
Do you have the right coach? Yeah. Remember when it was Gentry? Yeah. And all that? Yeah. Okay, no, it's SVG. This coach doesn't connect with its players. That's what you heard the entire season.
Yep.
On, he didn't like music at shoot around, things like that, right? Yep. Didn't connect with today's player. Well, you saw what happened at the end of the year. When I look at this, and it was the same thing. It's like, hey, can you get players back health-wise? They addressed some of those things over the last couple of years.
Right.
And what's interesting to me is I feel like the theme for the off-season conversations this year isn't whether or not they're talented.
No.
They have talent.
Yeah.
It's does the talent that you currently have on the roster work as best as it can together? In other words, you have a nice restaurant. Let's say you go buy a place down the street. Yep. People come there. They're busy. But how do you make it better? Does that make any sense? Like, you already have a little place down the block or something. Enough people go there. You look at it. They do good there. Maybe they do the roast beef sandwich good or something like that. But how do you add to it? Or at times you see what they can really do.
Well, that's
and
great
how, and how do you you know do that? And I think
either,
that's where you are.
Right. You either coach up the players you have,
correct,
or the staff I have, or you hire up. So you need to bring in better people, which I truly believe that this team has the staff. I truly, truly believe.
You're comfortable with the staff.
I think they've drafted some really good talent. Now, am I happy with hearing we didn't think they were going to play that hard? That would make me question who he is on this team. He already doesn't play defense.
Jonas?
It was terrible last night.
Well, no.
He was.
But here's the thing. You started out.
He was Toro last night.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, though, right? Because he started out with like 6 or 7 shots on the team. They were doing well. And then you're trailing because one team can make threes and the other can't.
And we were missing wide open threes.
Well,
you got to get better shooters.
Part of the conversation this offseason, I think fairly, is if you have a roster of players that are going to dictate the attention, you're going to play it this way. If you're going to play it as this offense has seemed to do, driving kick to the open shooter, and you're seeing teams, they're going to take away CJ. They're going to be physical with B.I., who at this point in his career, either he can or he can't play against physical defense. You know the answer. I mean, it's not going to change. You know what I'm saying? Unless he puts on 25 pounds of muscle and changes his game, all right? So, but that's who he is. CJ is CJ. You do have Zion. But teams are absolutely willing all day to have Herb Jones and Trey and Najee and whoever else shoot three. They will live with that.
Right.
So what you have to decide as an organization is, if that's the case, do I need to go get three-point shooting? And I know it's driving some Pels fans crazy right now because you have 2 3-point shooters that cannot get off the bench.
We don't know what Hawkins is yet. He hasn't played him enough.
Okay,
he's a three-point shooter.
Well, but doesn't that go to should you have played him during the regular season to see what he can and can't do and develop and have him be
absolutely
ready on
this? I've been saying this.
And in
on
a
the
league
show
where three-point shooting matters, how do you have someone who can consistently knock down shots not play? So, but again, the philosophy of the coach in this organization is defense first. I thought it was interesting, and we're going to have these conversations later, but I thought Mark Daigneault brought up something very interesting yesterday, in which he talked about you cannot forget there is an offensive side to the ball.
Yeah.
And he is a very physical team, and they're number one in points off of turnovers, and they do those things.
Yeah.
But He said, you cannot forget that there is an offensive side to the ball. And I do feel like I'm watching this team and I'm watching them compete against the Thunder. And I'm like, where are the points going to come from on a consistent basis if those two guys, Brandon Ingram had two shot attempts in the first half. He had two shot attempts. I didn't say two shots made.
Dude.
He took two shots.
Listen, these guys need to have. I question their heart. You have to when you see them play like that.
He took two shots
in the first half.
In the first half.
It was ridiculous. And CJ, I just think he's old and I think he might be injured.
Well, when we come back, I'll ask you about how you feel about your black and gold. You already have them at 14-3.
I'm trying here.
I know. I'm with you.
Losing Hurst is another.
We'll be back. Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans.
Driveways, pave it. Parking lots, pave it. Streets, pave it. Whatever you have Chris's Paving, the expert paving contractor, pave it. Locally owned and operated, Chris's Paving started in 97. Driveways, overlays, parking lot resurfacing, asphalt, or concrete, which only an expert can deliver. No job's too big or too small. The asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the Bayou region. Paving it? Call 985-960-2131 or just roll on over to chrispaving.com. Now,
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884. For your appointment today, or visit our website at VisionSourceAdvancedEyeCutoff.com.
It's Ram Truck Month at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Rams, long-lasting new pickups, or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Whether you need a truck for work or home life, the Ram will do its job. Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Disposal jam? Can't fix it? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I need like an 8-minute break, Chef Scotty.
To eat.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's still open after 3. Mm. You still got to go get Carver, Mutz?
Prime filet.
Carver.
Mm. I need some of that white chocolate bread pudding, sir. You haven't run out just yet, have you?
I'm not sure.
I hope you're not. Lewis Riddick said something very interesting today. Matty Hudak. I'm going to get to the phone call here in a quick second, Josh. Manny Hudak said she'd trade down maybe at 14. Lewis Riddick, and she said based on how the draft shakes out, right? If 4 or 5 quarterbacks go before you, if. Now, those are ifs.
Trade down for who?
For tackle or whatever. Just but try
you
to
think you're going
to
get off?
Try to get a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, which you don't have. What if you can get a second-round pick, a third-round pick, or fourth-round pick by moving down?
They definitely
spots.
Needed to get a third or fourth round pick.
This is what Lewis Riddick said, and we'll get to Josh.
Quite honestly, I believe it takes a turn right at number 2 as soon as Chicago is off the clock. I think right there is where the intrigue for me starts. And look, I heard what Kimberly Martin said about Adam Peter and say, look, we've decided on who we're going to take. I'm interested to hear who that's going to be.
Yeah.
And then, and really, after they make that pick, I'm even still interested to hear about the process by which they arrived at whoever it is that they take. Because to me, my instinct tells me there isn't this 100% consensus about it being Jaden Daniels, although I have said that would be number 1 for me. But I think that's where it starts. And then obviously, as Adam alluded to, at number 3, it gets even more interesting because there's this draft really is, I don't want to say top heavy, but it is deep, man. It is deep with players who play premium impact positions that are all going to have tremendous careers. So really at 2, from there, buckle in, man.
All right.
Then it gets good.
Josh, thank you for calling us on the Rudiman Can Hotline. What do you have?
I got three things for you, Gus. First, I think we're in the same position the Bengals were in when it was time to draft Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell. I think you take the weapon. I think you address the line later on. I think you take a Brock Bowers. I think you take a Brian Thomas from LSU at 14. I understand everybody says you don't have any offensive linemen. Are we really going to make a push next year? Is this offensive lineman really going to help us get to the playoffs and win? No, no. So you get the weapons around them, and then you get the quarterback later, i.e. the Falcons did. Number two, I haven't heard it said at all this entire show. Mickey Loomis is horrible at his job. Let's just get that out the way, okay? He's absolutely horrible. So I'm more excited to see how he's going to mess this up. We're going to drop the tackle that's injury prone, and then we'll be complaining why we only put up 14 points a game because we have zero weapons. And then also I just wanted to say, you know, with all these Saints fans, you know, we're riding on this draft and whatnot. I'm just going to remind them, Mickey Loomis traded more for Chris Olave than the 49ers traded for Christian McCaffrey. It'd be nice to have that second-round pick this year, but no, the Eagles have it because they fleeced us two drafts ago. It's just going to be awesome to see the debacle that the Saints are going to make happen this year, and I'm really excited to see all these trades. But, Gus, I'm telling you, man, we need weapons. Rashid Shaheed is a return guy who's just been masked as a second wide receiver. He's good, I get it, but I can name probably 15 teams there. The third wide receiver is better than Shaheed. So I just want to see us take some weapons, man, and let us lose 45-38 every day, then lose, you know, 28-10 every week. So thank you, brother.
Thank you, Josh.
I have more faith in that this team can win if they get some offensive linemen and Trevor Penning works out. I realize they've made some mistakes in the past, giving up draft picks, which have not worked out. But Peyton did that too. He was a part of it. I realize there's a general manager making these decisions that...
What do you make of Randy Mueller being involved in the last 2 weeks, giving a fresh perspective and set of eyes?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, how can you not? They need help. They've made some bad moves in the draft.
Okay.
So they brought Jeff Ireland in. They hired him, and the draft turned. They started getting good draft picks. Just recently, it hasn't panned out. I mean, this is not just – I mean, Peyton was here making mistakes in the draft too. I guess the person still was there now and here now. But I can't get it. But it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't want to go out and say Loomis is a bad general manager. I mean, that was harsh, but he's made mistakes. I mean, there's no question about it. They can't make mistakes this year. They have to have another draft like 2017.
I told
it to
Ross
Jackson. They can be really successful.
When he joined us earlier, said, the absolute last thing I need to hear tomorrow or tonight or even Saturday. He said he's okay with Saturday. I don't want to hear the word project unless they're referring to the new cafeteria. Unless they're referring
to... You can't have any more projects.
I don't want to even remotely hear the word project. John 4K. Back over in Lafayette. Yeah. Decided to diss us today. How are you? You should be enjoying the golf tournament with us. How are you?
Well, I'm sorry I'm not at the golf tournament, but I just got through getting off a golf course.
I thought you were working.
But I am. We work tonight, this afternoon, later on. I got to do other things before that.
Oh, okay.
I got to get my mind clear before this.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I'm cleaning my mind because I'm zooming in and I know the Saints are going to pick offensive linemen in the first two picks. Please tell me.
I don't know, you went really low there all of a sudden. Are you saying that you think the Saints are going to take two offensive linemen, or you're hoping that they please take them?
I'm telling you, the Saints better take offensive linemen back to back.
Gotcha.
There's no more excuses. Back to back offensive linemen.
Chef Scotty?
There's no question. They need three offensive linemen. But they're going to need to trade up. You know, in the past, we've had a lot of success with late round offensive linemen. But for some reason, we haven't been doing that lately. They've been doing other things.
Yeah.
I don't know about Sal Devon. What's his last name?
Saldivari. Yep. You drafted him last year.
We don't know how he's going to work out yet. He's, I guess, a project. Like, we cannot hear the word project.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to hear anything near project.
It's no. I mean, they have to hit like they did in 17. And those projects also need to work out. Peyton Turner, he's still on the team.
Boy.
Trevor Penning, still on the team.
Yeah.
These projects should be working out by now. So.
And here's the thing, John, to Chef's point, too. I mean, we're not going to know if any of these players remotely hit, you know, for a little bit here as well. But, I mean, I think you agree with me. We've talked about this in the past, too. He referenced 2017. Look, obviously we would love to get the Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year. That just doesn't happen normally, so I'm okay with not thinking you're going to get that. But they better at least be competing for a starter, right? Like, they need to be pushing starters, or your vision for them, as Sean Payton would always say, is for them to be a starter. Does that make sense, John?
They have to be starters.
You know, when you're going to draft first-round picks right now under the situation they're at, you got to hope, you know, at least the first guy you draft is a starter in a line. Most other linemen can be starters, whereas a receiver, somebody else, you got to come along. But they need starters right now. Then, look, the two projects from last year, if they're still projecting that this year, they're gone. Now they're back to square one and drafting more linemen. But they have to come out and, you know, play. They got to contribute. I know y'all use the project. I'm going to use the word, this guy better contribute as a starter, or if he's not a starter, enough that he plays enough that he could be a starter.
Yeah, makes sense. If you had to pick a tackle, do you have a favorite? Or you would just be happy with...
Penn State. I think
Fashunu. Yeah, again. You look at it, 2 years, man. Giving up a sack. It's not bad.
Yeah, Fashunu's the answer. But
as long as they don't say he's a mauler.
Well, you know.
Hey, the mauler might play well this year.
Oh, boy.
He's got a new coach.
If he is, he better be playing well at guard.
That's fine. He's got a new coach.
Mickey Loomis on, what's today, Thursday? On Tuesday, Mickey Loomis said they see him as a tackle.
Penny?
Yes, Penny.
If they see Penny at a tackle, he better be a Mr. Right tackle.
He specifically said he says Penning as a tackle.
All right, well, he puts him at a right tackle, put the new guy for Penn State, left tackle, and let's go.
Okay.
Who's the backup quarterback?
For the Saints? Well,
we're going to need
him. The backup quarterback might not be on his roster. But anyway,
if they don't get an offensive line.
Hey, John, just make sure for me, if you can, make sure to have that phone nice and charged, because when Jaden Daniels goes number two, I'm just going to send you a picture of a nice,
is this the guy that said
juicy,
he wasn't the first round
delicious
pick?
Right, hey, steak.
I heard you the other day.
Jason Daniels will not be the second pick.
Jason Daniels.
Jaden Daniels.
I didn't know there was a Jason Daniels. I know Jason Daniels won't be the second pick. Whoever Jason Daniels is. I don't know what you were watching last year.
Who do you think it's going to be?
You see, I don't care about the guy. I'm gonna call him Jimmy Daniels. There you go, Jack Daniels.
Neither one of them are getting selected number two either.
Jack Daniels. Who do you think goes two? Do you think the Commanders make the pick, or do they trade it?
It's going to be May. They're going to pick May. May is going to be the second quarterback off the board. Maybe first, maybe second.
Yeah, but the other day I was listening, you said that Jaden Daniels wasn't even a second-round talent.
Was it? You said that?
I was listening to it.
That wasn't coming from me.
Oh, that wasn't you the other day? I thought it was the same guy. I'm sorry. It was another guy naysaying Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Well, either way.
I don't know what I was watching last year.
That's how it works.
Looked all
right.
Good
well,
to me.
Well, John, enjoy yourself. We will call you tomorrow, and we'll see. We'll get your thoughts on the team's first-round pick, which is coming up tonight before 9 o'clock, around 8:30, 45, or somewhere around there. I don't know. We'll see. If there's a lot of trades, it's going to be a little more than that.
I'm going to be watching. I'm watching the draft tonight. I'm going to have me a Jack Daniels.
A Jack Daniels. There he is.
All right, guys.
John Forkett. There he goes. Final segment, Sports Hangover Live at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun store ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
For over 90 years, the legendary Ahrens brand has been building durable and reliable outdoor power equipment, like the Ahrens Icon Zero Turn Mower. Right now, you can save $250 on qualifying Icons at your local Ahrens dealer during the Mow Less, Save More event. The Icon delivers a perfectly cut lawn and does it quickly and comfortably. And because it's an Ahrens, you know it's built to last. This spring, save $250 on an Ahrens Icon and step into a legacy brand.
Visit Neil's Small Engines with locations in Houma, Thibodaux, and Cutoff.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. The Rudiman Can Hotline. As we are at the Fairway Club. At the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, Matt Muskonen, after a further review, is going to be a little further down than us over there at the walk-ons tent over by 17. So if you hear the same similar sights and sounds, that's because he's down the street from where we are. UNO, by the way, has hired their new men's basketball coach, Stacy Howe, NAIA national champ, is the head coach over there at Loyola. So he's moving a little further down, but staying in the city. And going up to UNO as Chef Scotty got to see Coach Schlesinger before he headed on up out of town. As just mentioned, Stacy Howell, very good coach over there. Loyola going there. You're a huge supporter, a Hall of Famer there at UNO. What do you think of the hire? And more importantly, obviously, what Coach has done, Schles over there, and now where UNO basketball is going to be.
I think it's an excellent hire. The problem is I've been close to UNO basketball for the last 13 years, 14 years. With NIL, transfer portal, et cetera, it's going to be very, very difficult to win at UNO. It's hard to get great players or good players to come to an institution to play basketball, baseball, tennis, whatever it is, when you're dealing with NIL with other schools. And until UNO gets money, until people start donating money to UNO and thinking about UNO and thinking about the school that they graduated from, because there's 50,000 graduates in the city of New Orleans. If you could just give $100 a year, y'all, it'd be $5 million into UNO's coffers, which for a school of less than 6,000 students now, and that's not UNO's fault, that's the system's fault. And less kids are going to four-year universities, traditional degrees, they're going to trade schools, which is fine, but schools like UNO pay for it, right. And it's hard to support athletics when baseball doesn't have a locker room. Or, you know, we got a new basketball coach, and I'm really happy that we hired a new coach. But it's going to be tough to win. And I'm not being a negative Nelly. I'm just telling you, you've got to have money to win now. And Coach Sless, on the other hand, is a very, very happy person. He's going to be an hour from his mother and father in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Right.
His parents are older now, and he can be closer to his mom and dad. And they live in Bloomington, Indiana. That's where he's from. Mark Schlesinger will be missed, greatly missed. He's a great New Orleanian. He's not a Bloomingtonian anymore, whatever they call him.
Right.
But he's not a Hoosier anymore. He came down to New Orleans, and he became a great New Orleanian and was a great representative of the University of New Orleans, despite the win-loss record the last several years.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's been tough to recruit.
Trevor, but, final phone call
sorry,
for
Trevor.
You. No, you're fine. No, it's good. So I wanted to ask you because you're close to the situation.
You asked
there.
A sensitive question.
No, it's not sensitive. I give you for information. I mean, just announced a new hire. What you got for us, Trevor?
Hey, Gus. I got in a couple minutes here. First off, I'll just hit the Pelicans real quick. That was absolutely pathetic last night, and I'm glad I didn't get the call earlier, but I heard the Jonas comment, and that's deeply disturbing after the team lost. And it does, what the guy sitting next to you said, Chef, I think it is, that makes me question his character and this team, because you can't come out like that after you lose by 2 points, and you put up a great performance, and then you look like you had the win, like you're defeated more, like, emotionally. I don't know. I don't know about Jonas anymore. Like, that's not something I want to hear out of my big guy. And the Saints, I disagree with the guy sitting next to you. I don't want another lineman. I don't care if he's the next Hall of Fame lineman. I don't want it. I don't want to see it. I'm tired of seeing it. We've seen what happens when we get that. Give me another weapon for Derek Carr. And that's cool. All. I hope the Pelicans.
You got a block
Saturday.
For
me. I'll be in there. Oh, wait, say again.
You could have Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, but if you're on your back, you can't throw. I'm just saying, man, you got to have offensive linemen. And, I mean, they've got to get offensive linemen. Do you realize Hurst just retired yesterday? He quit.
Trevor, I'm with you. I hear what you're saying.
I do, too.
But literally you have Cesar Ruiz and Eric McCoy that you know are going to even run like an OTA drill for you.
For me, it's like we're going to struggle either way. Would you rather struggle with how we did last year, or would you rather have some weapons and then, you know, struggle like that and see maybe it's a little better. I don't know. It's going to be a struggle either way. It's just whatever way you want to struggle.
You heard that? You heard that?
Yeah.
This guy's going to be a struggle either way. Right. Trevor, thank you for the phone call, man. Sorry, running out of time. But I look at the clock, and it is time to go. We'll be back right here tomorrow. Same spot, same table. Chef, we'll see you then. Thank you, bud. Matt Moscone after further review next on ESPN New Orleans.